everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith. Every week, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously and who just proposed that I just start doing the show without him until he gets here. He's not convinced anyone would notice.
If you're going to complain about me not getting here until 9:30 Eastern, you can certainly start at 8:30 Eastern. I don't mind.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a long one tonight, and we got to get to it.
All right. Well, no banter. I don't have time for banter. We got a long one here.
No, we've actually
straight to the monkey.
The reviews on the last couple of weeks' banter have been so good that I think they're going to carry us for a little while.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, we don't need to keep riding that high.
No, now they're loving the phone story. They're loving the dog dick story. So it's good to give some space between that and now.
Absolutely,
just like to reset because you can't top it.
Yeah. Yeah, my life can't be that great every week.
Yeah. I will say, just one quick note, you're wearing a Savannah Bananas shirt, and I'm very envious.
Oh, I am. Yeah.
I like it. I want to see them, and you've never taken me to see them.
Correct. No.
I don't like that.
Oh. Once you see it once, that's about it. That's about all you really need.
Yeah, I get it. That's fine. All right, you want to hear a ghost story?
Sure.
Tonight's going to go pretty great. Steed Bonnet.
I'm sorry.
Patrick, there's no time to stop.
I'm sorry. First name Steed?
It's Steed. Steed. S-T-E-D-E.
Oh, okay. Never mind. All right. Not like Steed, like, you know, he's riding a magnificent steed across the desert.
That was initially how it was supposed to be, but his mother was dyslexic.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
She was doing the horse backwards.
Yeah. Upside down, actually. She didn't last long.
The horse loved it, though.
yuck. That's probably not Steed, right? How else would you pronounce that?
It's definitely Steed. It's very much like they wanted to call him Steve. They already had a Steve. And they were like, yeah, but I already carved most of your gravestone. So.
What can we turn a V into?
Yeah.
Well, if we can do a D. Let's try a D. Steed Bonnet was born maybe in like 1688, I guess. We know that he was christened in 1688, for sure.
Okay.
So he's probably born then. He was christened on July 29th at Christ Church Parish in lovely Barbados.
Ooh. All right. Tropical story.
Barbados. Yes. His parents were Edward and Sarah Bonnet. They owned over 400 acres just south of Bridgetown, which is, as I'm sure you know, the capital of Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Capital of Bridgetown.
Mm-hmm. The economic center of Barbados.
I mean, you would think.
Probably.
Bridgetown is a great name for a city.
It is.
What do we call this one? I don't know. I'm looking around. I don't know.
Let's see.
I have no ideas.
Tiny island in the middle of the Caribbean. What do we have none of anywhere close to here? Oh, bridges. No bridges at all. Why would you have bridges? Do you know how far away the islands are from each other? It would make no sense. We should probably name the town then.
Are you suggesting Bridgetown is an aspirational name?
I think so. Maybe it's a bridge from the past to the future. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That does sound nice. Better than just like not knowing what a bridge is, which is the other option.
Because they definitely know what bridges are.
Oh,
for
totally.
Sure.
Yeah.
They absolutely.
Everyone down there looking at each other like, yeah, I know what a bridge is. Definitely.
Yeah. And you do too, right? Oh, yeah. I know what a bridge is.
I'm so sure I'm going to name this town Bridgetown. Yeah.
That makes sense. It's lots of bridges here because mm-hmm. I know those are.
Just over the horizon, I saw a bridge this morning.
I saw three bridges.
It barked at me.
So Steed's dad dies in 1694.
Oh.
When Steed is just 6 years old. I don't know. His mother's not mentioned again. Ow. So I don't know. I don't know what her deal was. Too much horse, I guess. And
I'm surprised you lasted that long, quite frankly.
And Steed inherits the entire estate, all 400 acres in Barbados, which is the story's a basis for Disney's Blank Check. Tour de force, Blank Check. Rich kid. it's a blank check. So he's rich. He makes him one of the richest people in Bridgetown society. Mm-hmm. So a kid is swimming in it. And by it, I mean lady parts. Women are throwing themselves at this young child left and right because they want in on his money.
Steed Tutankhamun, that's his name.
Now, on November 21st, 1709, he finally chooses one to marry. He marries a woman named Mary Allenby.
Mm.
And they have three sons and a daughter. The first son is named Allenby.
Okay, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, he dies in childhood.
Oh, no, well.
Possibly of shame because his name is so stupid. And then they have Edward, and then they have Steed Jr.
Oh.
And then they have Mary.
So, right, okay, I see what's going on here. Yeah. So the first one dies, and then the second one, they're like, oh, do you want to name this one Steed Jr.? And he's like, I want to feel this out a little bit, actually.
Turns out they're pretty fragile, so we don't want to just waste Steed Jr. on any child.
What is the most common name in English language ever? Edward? Edward. Why not?
And I will remind you that his dad's name was Edward. Mm-hmm. So they've been their first kid, his wife's
maiden name.
Maiden name. They named the second kid his dad. They named the third kid him, mm-hmm. Junior. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth kid is his wife's first name.
Mm.
They're all family names.
Okay.
Which is very fitting level of creativity for someone who lives in Bridgetown. And so Steed and Mary, they have four kids, three who live past childhood, or actually, no, I don't know that for sure. They have three kids who live after one of them at least dies. And Steed and Mary's marriage was not great.
Oh.
Steed realized he had made a huge mistake. The marriage, in fact, the relationship was so bad that in spring of 1777, despite knowing absolutely nothing about ships or sailing, mm-hmm. or any sort of ocean stuff, Steed Bonnet decides to become a pirate.
How hard can it be? There's guys in Somalia in fishing boats doing this.
And I am not making up the bad relationship part. Apparently, that is what most historians believe. He became a pirate because he had to leave his wife.
Interesting. He hated
it so much. And I think his three kids, none of them were older than six when he takes off.
That sounds like the right time.
That's
about right. probably pretty common story on the pirate ship, I would figure. Definitely. Like, I'm going to say at least three or four guys in that ship, same situation. Has to be.
Oh, my God. Bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So Steve decides to become a pirate. And he goes about this. He contracts a local shipyard to build him a ship.
That's not very piratey.
Now, correct. This is not how it's normally done.
Don't you just steal a ship from somebody else and put your flag on it? That's
you are already a better pirate than Steed Bonnet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, usually pirates steal their ships, either through mutiny or if you're not on a crew, you take a ship. You just go get one.
Yeah.
You put your flag on it.
That's how they know you're a good pirate.
That's right.
The bad pirates don't survive that step. You know?
That's right.
I'm seeing some bad pirating coming up. I don't want to cheat too much. It sounds like we're going to see some bad pirating in this episode.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. So, but Steve doesn't do that. He doesn't take over ship. He goes out and he builds his own bespoke ship. You're probably not going to be too surprised to learn here that the kind of ship he builds for his career as a pirate, fearsome pirate of Barbados, uh-huh. where there are lots of pirates.
Right.
It's like a thing down there.
Absolutely.
Right? Lots of competition. And you want to have a good pirate brand. And so he decides to build a sloop. A sloop, in the John B.
Right.
So if you Google sloop, this is what you will find.
Okay, that's like one of those teaching ships. That's how they teach you how to sail a ship.
That's right. So the defining factor, as far as I can tell, of a sloop is it has one mast, and then so it's a one mast little boat.
Okay.
So that's he builds a sloop.
Uh huh.
Now, go ahead.
And he's I'm I'm sorry. Who is he going to intimidate into giving up their booty with this? I don't even know. Just from that photo, I don't think you can fit a lot of booty on that ship. You think your booty, and that's it. Yeah. No additional booty.
He's going to intimidate margarita girlies, yeah. I guess. Spring break girlies. So he builds a sloop, but his sloop is a little bigger. Mm-hmm. To give him some credit here. So here is a drawing of his sloop.
Okay, that is bigger.
It's bigger.
It has something impaled on the front of it, too.
Now, that was an accident. That's a goat.
I don't have my glasses on. But it looks like they may have run into a cow and an impressionist painting of a woman's face. I don't really know.
Yeah. He's, again, not very good at sailing. No. So he did end up in a cattle pasture for a short time. So he's off to a good start here. This is obviously not like a big pirate ship. It has one mast, but apparently it holds a crew of 70 men.
Oh,
I don't know where the fuck you're putting 70 men on this boat.
Stacking them like cordwood.
Mm-hmm. He also, of course, he needs guns. So he has it outfitted with 10 big guns, which I assume means cannons.
I would figure. You can't shoot them all at once or it will tip the ship over. Absolutely.
Yeah. Got it very strategically. Okay, we're going to fire. You have to fire yours two seconds later to balance us out.
We have to fire on opposite sides of the ship. Yes, one cannonball is just going out into the ocean, but it's the only way.
We attack two ships at once right down the middle.
this will be our move. This will be the sloop move.
So, obviously, the ship has to have a name, and Steed names his ship Revenge.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, it is a cool name for a ship.
It is, yes. But you kind of have to earn it.
Yeah, he's not earning a lot.
Oh, my God. We're already off to the bad piracy. This is...
Yeah. But he's so excited.
I bet.
So he rounds up a crew. He fills a boat. He's got about 70 bros on board. Now remember from what I said, Steed has no idea how to sail. I'm not sure he's ever been in a ship before he builds one.
But
there's becomes a pirate.
There's 70 guys on board. One of them, I'm sure, is not afraid of sailing.
I hope that's correct. And so he does indeed rely completely on his officers to sail this mm-hmm. ship. Mm-hmm. And so the crew is sitting there and they're seeing this and they do not respect him.
No, I believe it.
One bit.
Right.
But they stick around because unlike like every other pirate on the water, Steed, who again is a very wealthy landowner, mm-hmm. he actually pays his crew wages.
Oh.
So most pirates would just like split plunder. And if you don't get plunder, you don't get paid.
Sure.
But Steed is paying them.
Okay.
And so they're like, all right, well, yeah. Fuck it, I guess. Yeah. Let's see how this goes. Because what could go wrong? So everything is ready, finally. The ship is ready. Mm-hmm. Steed's got his crew. He sets sail out of Barbados one night under the cover of darkness.
Mm, good idea.
Yes.
Yeah. 100 years before ship lights, definitely leave in the middle of the night from the port. Good call.
And I think it's not because he wanted to be intimidating or anything. Mm. It's because he didn't want people in Barbados to know that he was becoming a pirate. And this is true. He was like, we're going to do this. But he told everyone that it was a trading ship, a merchant ship. But he knew that if...
That he painted the name Revenge on the side of? No one is trading with this ship.
And he also has no merchandise on board.
Right.
And so if people see an empty merch ship sailing out of the port, they're going to have some questions.
Yeah.
So he does it at nighttime.
I'm bringing cold, hard cash onto the high sea. That's what I'm bringing with me.
I'm selling this man meat. Don't tell them. They don't know. His first target is going to be the colony of Virginia.
Good idea.
Yes. He heads up and he hits up the Chesapeake Bay. And Steed Bonnet and his men capture and plunder 4 different ships.
Hey, okay.
Turns out he's a pretty good pirate.
Okay.
By the way, would you like to see a drawing of our boy Steed, the gentleman Please. Pirate?
Please.
Let's see here. Share this. There you go.
Oh, boy. Oh, buddy. That is a look right there. So what I'm seeing is a very dainty pirate. He has his pirate hat, but it's kind of cocked off to the side a little bit. And on the opposite side, he has his entire mustache crooked to that side.
Yeah.
And the mustache looks like a fancy French dog. That's the only way I can describe it. And then, of course, in the background is a bunch of people that he has slain.
The background is my favorite. It's all he's dead. He's bleeding out on a beach. Okay. It's good. It's good promo.
This is your trading. This is your like trading card, your business card. This is you're definitely handing this out all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm getting a stack of these from Kinko's, and I'm just handing them out to everybody I meet.
Oh, man. So that's our boy Steed. And believe it or not, that is not the most foppish image of him that I found.
It's a long show. It is
the one with dead bodies in the background. So while he's sacking ships in Virginia and it's going well, he notices another nearby ship just kind of like watching him and being like, oh, shit, there's a pirate up here. And the ship that's watching him is also from Barbados.
Mm.
Now, Steed does not want word of any of this to get back to Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, again, a member of, like, high society, and he doesn't want people to be talking about him.
Right.
And so he goes out, and he catches that boat, and he burns it to the ground.
Good idea.
So far, it's going great.
For Steed.
For Steed.
Yeah.
From there, he goes up to New York City.
Wow.
He takes a couple more ships. He also frees a bunch of guys who are being held captive at Gardner's Island.
Oh, okay.
So he's making a name for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But New York was not as full of ships as he thought it would be. So he goes back down to the Carolinas, where he takes two more ships. He takes a brigantine from Boston and another Barbadian sloop.
Mm.
So
when he takes the ships, what is he doing with the ships? Is he like tying them all together? Is he coming back with a big thing?
We're going to talk about what he does with one of the flotilla that he's just like dragging behind him.
And everybody's like, wow, you're very good at whatever it is you do, Steed. We don't know what it is you do, but you sure come home with a lot more ships than you left with.
He is sometimes stripping them for parts because like he's winning these battles, but the boat's getting pretty mucked up.
Right.
Right. Like he's taking cannon fire and stuff. So he'll like use the ships for pieces to repair his ship. And then it's like sink a lot of them. So in this case, the Barbadian boat, the sloop that he takes in the Carolinas, he strips it for pieces to repair the Revenge. And then they dismantle a little bit of the boat for lumber.
Mm-hmm, of course.
On board. And then they bury the remains, which feels like very difficult.
Yeah.
And totally pointless.
I'm sure everybody that's burying the ship is like, we couldn't just bury it by sinking it. Under the waves. Like,
set this thing on fire. Yeah. What are we doing here?
No one is going to know.
Probably burying it because it's Barbadian is my guess. And he doesn't want people to know that. He doesn't want people to know that he's in Barbados and he's doing this. But like, if they find out, he certainly doesn't want them to think that he's also targeting boats from Barbados.
True. Well, and I guess in these days, with the whole ship being made of floating parts, it's not like the old days, not like nowadays, if like a ship sinks, it just... like goes all the way down to the bottom. Like if a ship sinks,
this one's gonna float back to Barbados.
All the little Barbados pieces just float all over the place.
Yeah. So in September, then he decides to head to Nassau in the Bahamas.
Hmm.
And Nassau this time is a pretty infamous pirate den. Lots of pirates down there.
Oh, gonna go flex a little bit.
He's gonna go do some networking. He's got these business cards. Yeah. They're super cool.
In a hole in my pocket.
Spread them around. On the way there, they come across a Spanish man-of-war ship, and the Spanish man-of-war opens up fire on them, and so there's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Revenge escapes, but like just barely. Ooh. It's in really bad shape. Steed himself was seriously wounded in that battle, and half his crew was either killed or also wounded. So it's a bad, bad scene. They limp into Nassau, and they... take some time there. They're going to rest up. They're going to heal. They repair the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Steed also decides this might be a good time for a little bit more firepower. So he adds two more cannons to the Revenge.
Okay. One on either side, of course.
Of course. Got to counterbalance. And while he's there in Nassau, in the Bahamas, Steed, he makes a new friend. Makes a new pirate friend.
Oh.
He befriends a man named Edward Teach. Edward Teach is better known as Blackbeard. So Steed and Blackbeard really hit it off. And as Wikipedia puts it, they decide to cruise together.
Hey, all right.
So
ocean's lonely. Doesn't have to be.
That's right. Never thought I could get so lonely in a boat full of 70 men. You just needed 71, Steed. So here's the plan. So they're gonna ride together. They're gonna share a ship. They're gonna take Steed's ship.
Oh my gosh, his busted up ship.
Yep.
Okay.
Taking his busted up ship, and Blackbeard is like, "Hey, babe, you don't look so good. Why don't you go hang out in your cabin? Let me run the ship for a while so you can keep getting better."
Mm-hmm.
And Steed's like, "Thank you, you big strong pirate. Thank you, I will. We'll do that."
There's no place better to heal up than out in the salty air of the ocean inside of a little wooden cabin, I guess.
Just in your own feces and urine for months at a time. Yeah,
eating hardtack and drinking salt water. Sure, why not?
It's great. So they go off, they set off, and Blackbeard takes command of the Revenge. They sail north to Delaware Bay, where they plunder 11 ships.
Ooh.
Because now they've got a real pirate on board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was going well before, but now, like, daddy's home, you know? Like, Blackbeard's a real deal. And so they're doing really well. On September 29th of that year, they plunder a sloop called Betty, which had a cargo full of Madeira wine.
Oh.
And the crew is so excited about that one.
You will not believe the hangover we are going to have tomorrow. I have not drank fresh water in a month, and I just found 400 gallons of wine.
On October 12th, they take a merchant ship, and the captain of that ship, who was a man named Captain Cod, which is a pretty good boat captain name, described Steed as, quote, walking the deck in his nightshirt, lacking any command.
Hey, checks cash all the same.
It's been like 2 months, like a month and a half, and he's still just like wandering around in his pajamas. But under Blackbeard's control, the Revenge keeps on revenging. They plunder so many boats. And of course, Blackbeard is a very good pirate. One of the more well-known anecdotes about Blackbeard is that he would tie fuses into his beard and then light them and set them on fire before he boarded a ship. And it's like when he would like swing over and board your ship, you would just see this guy coming whose face was on fire and like smoke was going everywhere and he looked fucking terrifying. And that was how that's one of the big reasons that he like won. He did so well. So people were like, oh shit. Absolutely not.
I wonder what color his beard was before that.
Because he did dye it to make it strikingly black.
Yeah.
To make it scarier. And also to hide the singeing, I would assume. On November 17th, they managed to capture a French slave ship called La Concorde. Now, Blackbeard really likes this new boat. It's a big old boat.
Mm-hmm.
He really likes it. And so he takes it as his own.
Okay.
And he names it Queen Anne's Revenge.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's nice.
That's nice.
And he tells Steed, he's like, hey, dude, this has been good.
It's been real.
Loved all this. I'm going to go ride over on that boat for a while. So you have to take control of the Revenge again. And Steed, I guess, is like, fine. Oh, man. All right.
Got to put pants on.
So Blackbeard takes Queen Anne's Revenge. Steed takes over Revenge again. And then they continue to sail side by side for like another month. Best friend boats.
Wow.
Best friend pirates. But eventually they do part ways. They split up. And now without Blackbeard, Steed's pirating does not go quite as well.
Sure.
He doesn't plunder as many ships. And then when he does, it doesn't go great. On March 28th, 1718, he attacks a 400-ton merchant ship near Honduras.
Okay.
And this ship has probably the best name of any ship in this whole story, which is the Protestant Caesar. So they attack this huge merchant ship, and everyone's really excited because there's big booty on this ship.
Got to be something in there.
Mm-hmm. So they go for it, but the Protestant Caesar escapes.
Mm-hmm.
And the crew is very frustrated.
Mm.
Now, not too long after this little kerfluffle, Steed once again bumps into Blackbeard. Small ocean.
Sure, absolutely.
You're going to see your exes around. Mm-hmm. And so they see Blackbeard, and Steed's entire crew senses a bit of an opportunity, and the entire crew deserts Steed and joins up with Daddy Blackbeard. They just all leave the ship, and they paddle over to Blackbeard's ship.
Okay.
All of them. Every single man. And Steed's like, you guys, come on.
I don't know which one makes it go up and which one makes it go down. Please help.
I can't steer this home. So Steed is not sure what to do. And so Blackbeard calls over to Steed, and he's like, hey, you know, we're friends. Like, why don't you come too?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like, you know, sorry I took your car. He's like, this wasn't me. They just came over. Like, yep. Just come on over. We got room. And Steed's like, all right, I'll do it.
Mm.
So he leaves his own boat and he goes over to Blackbeard's boat. And Blackbeard tells him, he's like, hey, man, you're not a very good captain.
Mm-hmm.
And he locks Steed in one of the cabins and holds him prisoner.
Okay.
And he gives the revenge to one of his own henchmen.
Oh, okay.
So he steals Steed's boat and locks Steed away.
Well, it's at this point, that's probably for everyone's benefit.
I think so.
That boat's going to be at the bottom of the ocean in like a month anyway.
Now, Steed is stunned. He cannot believe he's been betrayed by his best friend.
Mm.
A few months later, the Queen Anne's Revenge runs aground near Topsail Island.
Oh.
So the boat is stuck.
Not so professional now, are we, Mr. Blackbeard? The ocean gets shallow sometimes.
So they have to abandon the ship.
Oh.
Now the crew is getting mad at Blackbeard.
Mm-hmm.
And Blackbeard is not a stupid man.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know what? Hey, Steed, this was, you know what? You should have the revenge back.
Yeah.
And you should take the crew. And Steed is like, I don't know if I want to do that anymore. Like, I don't think so. So while they're trying to figure out what to do, and while Blackbeard is trying to convince Steed to take the crew that's about to mutiny, word gets to them that if Blackbeard and Steed go see the governor of North Carolina, which is basically where they are, that he will pardon them.
Oh.
So they're like, well, this actually seems like a pretty good time for that.
Yeah, because the mutiny's probably not going to go real well.
It's not going to go great.
It's
We should. Yeah, let's not be. Hey, let's not be pirates anymore.
Yeah.
So they head inland, and the governor does indeed pardon them under King George's Act of Grace.
Huh.
But there's a condition.
I would hope so.
The one condition is you can't be pirates anymore.
Oh, okay.
So now,
even
yeah.
Steed.
Even Steed.
Like, he's just kind of barely a pirate.
Yeah, but he can't be any pirate anymore.
Okay.
No pirate. No pirating. So they're like, yep, we agree. That's fine. They pinky swear on it, and they're good, and they get pardoned. And they're going back to the ship, but Blackbeard's going back to the boats, but Steed has to stick around for a day or two in town. He has to get some paperwork that will allow him to sail the Revenge to St. Thomas.
Okay.
Because the Revenge is still a pirate ship. It's known as a pirate ship. But if he has his papers that say, like, oh, I'm not a pirate, look. Then they'll let him pass. Because he wants to go to St. Thomas where he can become a privateer and fight the Spanish army. Spanish Navy, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So that's his goal. So Blackbeard goes to the ships. Steed hangs out in town. Steed does receive the letter, and he heads back to Topsail Island to meet Blackbeard. When he gets there, he learns that Blackbeard has sunken several of his ships. He's taken all of the loot. He robbed the Revenge of all its supplies, and he said, peace out. And he is gone. And Steed is so mad.
And somehow still surprised that this keeps happening.
It keeps happening. And here's a fun fact.
Wham!
For fans of the Apocalypticon series, the story of Steed and Blackbeard actually is the basis for the third book in the series, Broken World.
Huh.
Patrick, in this case, unfortunately, is Steed Bonnet.
Oh, that's not surprising.
That's, so I've cited, yeah. Yeah. And then this character of Roman is based on Blackbeard. If you read it, there's you'll see some fun little Easter eggs in there to tie that together.
Neat.
Yeah. Anyway, so Steed is real mad, and he chases Blackbeard for a while. But Blackbeard, he's slippery, and they can't catch him. So Steed is like, fuck it. I'm not very good at this. But he does immediately become a pirate again. He changes the name of the ship to the Royal James.
That's a better idea.
Way better.
Mm-hmm.
He asks the crew to start calling him Captain Thomas.
Mm.
Just to fool everybody.
Yeah.
Gotta fool them. So now they're saying, but they're still pirates. There are plenty more ships. They lose more ships. The crew is like tenuous. Like it's all the same stuff. It's not going to go great. By the end of August, Steed was moored at the mouth of Cape Fear River, basically just kind of like blocking ships from coming up the river or down the river and just looting them. And the governor of South Carolina is like, you can't do that.
Yeah. it's not fair.
Bitch. So he authorizes Colonel William Rhett to go get those fucking pirates. Rhett takes two ships out toward the river, the Henry and the Sea Nymph. He's got 130 men.
You know which one I'm going to be on.
Yeah, the Henry sounds
good. Guys,
I need
like at least 10 people to change ships. I know.
It's very exciting. If we all ride the Sea Nymph,
I know.
It's going to go down.
You guys,
stop. Stop. That's not what I meant.
You guys have to stop licking the ship. I swear to God.
So he's got 130 men. Steed hears now the boats are coming, so he sends out some canoes to go check it out. Like, is this a big threat or what?
Mm-hmm.
And he is, quote, disconcerted to learn that they are warships. So now, against Rhett's 130 men, Steed only has 45.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the Han Solo of our story. He likes those odds.
Okay.
He's going to fight his way through. And what unfolds next is, as far as I can tell, the dumbest pirate battle of all time. So Steed runs the Revenge straight at the warships.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually good, because this is going to be if I can go through the middle of them.
Right. And I have two cannons. This is the move we've been practicing, guys.
practicing it for 2 years. It's time. So he runs it. At the warships, but the warships run at the Revenge, and they're a lot bigger than the Revenge.
Right.
And so Steed is like, whoa. And he has to kind of turn the ship a bit. The Revenge is forced to move over to the shallows, and it gets too shallow, and the Revenge runs aground.
Ooh, hard to fight from there.
But in chasing the Revenge, both the Henry and the Sea Nymph also run aground.
Aha.
And so all three ships are stuck. And the Sea Nymph is too far away to be of any use, but the Henry is close enough to the Revenge that it can hit it with cannon fire and vice versa. Okay,
right.
Okay. And so for the next 6 hours, these ships that are stuck on land are just shooting at each other.
Very medieval. I love it.
Uh-huh. And I guess the Henry was kind of lodged in such a way that the deck was tilting up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Steed was able to just like pick off soldiers on deck with like muskets and things. And they're firing. So it's just going back and forth for 6 hours. They're just shooting at each other. But eventually, of course, a tide comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The tide comes in and it lifts both of Rhett's ships out of the water or out of the dirt. But the Revenge is still stuck.
Mm.
So after more than 6 hours of this nonsense, the other two boats pin the Revenge, and it's very clearly over.
Hmm.
Steed is so mad. He says he'll blow up the boat before he surrenders.
Okay.
Which is a cool move.
And really, the two warships, they're like, that's totally fine, actually. Like, what do you think I've been trying to do for the last 6 hours?
Make my job a lot easier, friend. Eventually, though, the crew talks him into surrendering.
Yeah. <'cause they don't laughs> The crew's like, no, you don't. No. You don't speak for us, buddy.
And they raise the white flag. So Steed and his men are captured, and they're brought to Charleston. They're going to be hung. On October 24th, Steed and his sailing master, whose name is Harriet, H-E-R-R-I-O-T, Steed and Harriet escape the jail.
Oh.
And they are helped along by a slave and a Native American who both want to become pirates.
I do like this. This is basically how Moby Dick opens. So I'm loving this. Yeah.
A 700-pound bounty is placed on Steed's head. And so people are chasing him down. Now, the four of them, they get a small boat and they sail it out of Charleston Harbor. But there's a really strong wind that day, and so they don't make it very far. And once again, Colonel Rhett goes after them, and once again, he catches them. He kills Harriet. He wounds the other two guys. And this time, Steed surrenders very easily. He's like, okay, you got me. So they take him back to Charleston again, and they give him a bigger lock on his door. And now Steed is put on trial for piracy. He pleads not guilty, but he has no defense at all. So his execution is set on for December 10th. Steed is, he's in a full-on panic, and he writes a bunch of letters. He writes one to the governor of South Carolina, telling him Steed, will become his, quote, menial servant if he lets him live.
So groveling. We're groveling.
We're groveling real hard. Okay. He writes a lot of letters to Colonel Rhett, actually, and Rhett eventually agrees that, hey, listen, if the governor allows it, I will sail you to England for a retrial. So Steed's really excited about that plan, but again, the governor is like, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And apparently a lot of the women in town thought he was an absolute dreamboat, and they would like go to the governor's door and like beg him to let Steed go.
Just for 15 minutes. Then please lock him back up. That's all we're asking for.
But the governor is like, it's not happening. Stop asking me. And so, finally, Steed Bonnet was hanged at White Point in Charleston on December 10th, 1718. After he died, his body was cut down, and it was buried alongside his crewmates in marshland near the low water mark at White Point. In the centuries that followed, White Point, where Steed and so many other pirates were hanged and buried, became a very nice park.
Hmm.
The city of Charleston used landfill to give the uneven coast there a very sharp-edged terminus. So now it just is very blocky.
Mm-hmm.
In 1840, they built a public bathhouse there. It had a cake and ice cream parlor on the top floor.
Oh, man. Uh-huh. I know when I go to the bathhouse, first thing I want is some cake.
You got to get your fingers all dirty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you can go have a reason to go to the bathhouse. I'm sticky. I need a bath. The bathhouse was destroyed a lot of times by a lot of storms, but they always rebuilt it because people loved this bathhouse.
Almost like the storms were specifically targeting the bathhouse each time. And yeah.
During the Jim Crow era, black Charlestonians gathered in White Point, which is now called White Point Garden, on Independence Day.
Hmm.
On every other day of the year, it was not permitted for black people to enter the park. Eventually, White Point Gardens became a gay cruising spot. Well, into the 20th century,
all the bathhouses and the cake, that kind of,
yeah.
I think it probably was the whole time, to be honest.
Oh, I put syrup on this. Why are there all these bees around? I don't know. this is when they had to close down the public restrooms. they opened them back up later when the park became somewhat of a military, memorial. There's a lot of military memorabilia around. There's a bandstand, a bunch of statues and stuff. And it's all built on top of the bones of dead pirates like Steed Bonnet.
Hmm.
Steed and his crew are often seen wandering the park at night, searching for their executioners and screaming and firing guns.
Every which way.
They're wearing classic pirate gear, and they look pretty corporeal, with the one important difference that you can see directly through them.
Yeah. You can always tell which one Steed is because he's asking which way the ocean is. I think I can hear it, but you tell me which way the ocean is, please.
Is it this way? No, that's up.
Oh! I knew that. Is that where my ship is, though?
Visitors report the sounds of pirates yelling. They also report strange spots of light that flicker to life and then vanish, and random cold spots situated throughout the park. People also see phantom faces looking up at them from out of the water.
Gross.
I hope they are phantom faces.
Yeah.
Horrible. They also hear the sounds of creaking ropes near the spot where the pirates were all hanged. And then we have one final fun fact.
Wham!
This is apparently one of the flags that Steed Bonnet, when he was alive, flew from his ship.
Oh, hey. Okay. So the skull and crossbone, not bones.
Uh-huh.
And then a little heart to the side.
A little heart.
Is that a symbol for something? I don't know what that is
on the left.
Yeah. The thing on the left looks very tribal. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, that's appropriation of some sort, probably.
It has to be.
But that heart is really sweet. Mm-hmm. That sweetheart. That's Steed's flag. And that is the story of Steed Bonnet and his crew and how they haunt White Point Gardens in Charleston, South Carolina.
Huh. Man.
Yeah.
I predicted that one pretty good. I predicted Bad Pirate Long episode, and here we are.
Yeah, I think, yeah, when you hear that he bought a ship or had one built, that's a good tell. It's a good tell. And it wasn't as long as I thought it would be. I did speed through some of the parts, which is my, it's code for you didn't make as many jokes as you could have. but we'll pipe some in later. Let's see. Yeah, that is it. Any questions? Any?
Always a big fan of the pirate episodes. Yes. Love the ship episodes. Love the ship episodes.
I think Blackbeard also is a ghost. So we could do a, like a partner episode someday.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah, we crossover.
A little crossover, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll look into that. Well, while I do that, let's put a button on this one. Is This a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. The notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jen Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Our merch is designed by Fox and Quill Studio. And if you are in a bad marriage, just go to therapy like a normal person. Don't become a pirate. It's the worst path you could take out of that marriage. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about you next week on Is This a Ghost?